Now, actually, I need a few volunteers. Four people in total, preferably people without a lung condition, because I'm going to need people to blow up a balloon, or four, actually. Josh, you can be one. Anybody with a hand up, basically, will get a Guernsey. Come up, Joel. Isaac. Don't be like the adults here, boys. That is, when they grow up, they refuse to volunteer. Thanks, Pam. Pam's not afraid to be embarrassed by children. You get to choose the colour first, Pam.
Just not pink.
Oh, pink, here you go. Okay, now come and stand this way. So facing everybody here, it will be a race of sorts to sort of blow this balloon up over about a 20-second period. Now, let me tell you what the analogy is aimed at to start with. We're sort of having a look at the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit actually works in us. But one of the problems we have is, unlike Acts chapter 2, we don't have little flames of fire on top of their heads demonstrating to the world that actually the Holy Spirit's working through us, which can leave us and people who see our behaviour having a bit of a wrong perception, which hopefully we'll talk about as we go through. So let's do the balloon blowing, okay? I'm not very good at timing, so I'll just count to 10 in my head or so. You've got about that long until I say stop to blow it up as much as you can. Okay, go. Fly. Okay, stop. Like I said, stop, Josh, otherwise your gift of the Spirit may have exploded. And then you'll need the gift of healing, I suspect, rather rapidly. Now, just hold it up, everybody, rather than tie it up. So the other world, if we imagine the world sees it, well, the Holy Spirit works through us, but if this is the behaviour we do, this is what they see. Obviously, Joel doesn't have enough of the Spirit because he doesn't do enough good behaviour. Josh is going very, very well. And Pam's going well too. Isaac going well. Yours is going down. And so the world can see that, actually, is this what the Spirit does? Works through us. And so other people judge us according to our behaviour. But is this how God speaks about the Spirit? So what we're going to look at, really, is if this is the fruit of the Spirit, is this the fruit of us? Because who blew into the balloon? That's right. Joel, Isaac, Josh and Pam, they blew into the balloon. It's their deeds that everybody sees. Now, who wants to let these go? Okay. We can make some jokes there, but we won't, will we? Okay, thank you, guys. You can all take a seat. So basically the aim is to look at, well, other people see that balloon, if that's the content of our works, and go, well, is that you doing stuff, or is that actually the Holy Spirit actually in you at all? And, well, how are you going to notice anyway? What's the difference between another person loving someone who's not a Christian and you doing it? How do we know one has any fruit of the Spirit at all, or one's just not because you're created in the image of God? So what we're going to pray about is actually how can we know that the Spirit is actually working in us to give gifts and to actually encourage us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we do come before your word, we pray that you'll encourage us by the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and equip us to serve you and each other. Amen. Now also, a task that you did last year at the Big Day Inn, if you were here, if you weren't, it'll be fresh to you. Last year at the Big Day Inn, I got everybody to write on post-it notes. We stuck them around the wall if you were here. And you had to write down, I might turn it off actually, it'll be easier now that we've moved away from the balloons. We can just go back to this one. And to write on the post-it notes, things that you're good at, three things that you're good at. So I want you to imagine again, for those of you who weren't here or if you were, three things that you're actually good at. Now, if you can imagine them, I suspect it's easier to imagine the three things that you're bad at. That's sort of the Australian ethos. We can write or know the things that we can't do. But if you could write things, three things that you're actually good at, and the prayer really is, God, help me to use those gifts you've given me to strengthen other people and myself. Because this is the first premise, I think, about the Holy Spirit. There is only actually one gift of the Spirit. and it's the Spirit. He is the gift, and he actually works through his people to encourage them, which is a very good thing for you as a person, because it actually says that if you're breathing here, if you're alive, and we said this last year, we looked at gifts with 1 Corinthians 12 and the idea of church. If you're breathing, you have been gifted by God to be strengthened and strengthen other people. Breathing people have spiritual gifts. If you remember nothing else about today, just remember that. If you're breathing, God has given you spiritual gifts. Because the number one gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit, firstly. And what God says, he does three things. Very simple. God likes working in threes and probably do Anglican sermons as well. God gives three things. The first thing he always does is he actually Christianizes your personality. Now, the importance of that is going to be significant because it's going to be the difference between loving someone and loving someone as a Christian. There's going to be a difference there, which we'll see in a moment. But the first thing God does is he says he Christianizes your personality. The second thing he does is that occasionally he will decide to intervene in a way that he couldn't do through your personality. And we call those things gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, visions, speaking in tongues. So God supernaturally intervenes in ways that he doesn't do through your personality. But it is no less miraculous than changing you from a person who never loved anybody apart from yourself to actually loving your brothers and sisters in the Lord. They are equally as miraculous. So it's not a comparison between, well, some bloke got the gift of healing, I just got the gift of administration. Well, maybe you were good at administration beforehand, and God is now enabling you to use that gift in a way that he couldn't have done beforehand because you weren't a Christian. We weren't using it for your Christian brothers and sisters. So God, he says, he uses our natural gifts or your God-given gifts for his purposes, for his glory. He only can do that once you have the primary gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he will occasionally step in and do things which aren't through your personality. Now, an example would be Paul when he got shipwrecked off Malta. Some of you may know the story where a dude got bitten by a snake and Paul does a healing there. But at other times, Paul is gravely ill, almost dying. Why is God not healing him that day? Or when he's in jail. Peter got broken out of jail. And John, why not Paul? Well, Paul at another time got broken out of jail, but ends up getting killed as a Roman citizen. He probably got decapitated rather than crucified. Wasn't healed then. I'm sure God, if he wanted to, could pop his head back on and heal it, but that didn't seem to happen. Epaphroditus, his great mate, was sick and almost died. Didn't seem to heal him, but yet Paul had the gift of healing. What God's trying to show, it's an occasional gift. It is used by God to strengthen and equip his people for a purpose that God knows that we may not always know. Why did God heal this bloke on Malta, but not anybody else that Paul seemingly dealt with very often? Why the gift of healing that day, but not the next? A problem we can often have when we look at the more miraculous gifts is we associate them with assurance. That is, if God gives me the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy or visions, he must be working through me. Well, yes, but he's working through you if you sidle up next to someone and ask them how they're going. To actually speak to them in a Christian way, how their faith is going. It's the same Spirit actually working through you. Now, God may on occasions decide to do that in a more miraculous way, not using your personality, like the gift of healing, tongues, prophecy, and visions. But the vast majority of times in the Scriptures, he chooses you to actually work through you. So the first way, he will work through your personality. God will, a whole raft of times, use miraculous ways to intervene into cultures and societies and people's lives in ways that aren't based on personality, like healings. The third one, he actually takes those three things that you could think now that are bad about you, and he actually revolutionizes them. So in other words, he changes your bad bits to actually be Christian as well. He doesn't make you a nice moral person by Christianizing your good bits. He Christianizes your bad bits as well. So they're the three things he actually decides to do. And you'll see here that God-given grace is the Holy Spirit. There is God-given supernatural grace, and it is still the Holy Spirit, whether he works for you personally or he works for you on an occasional basis. That is the great news of God. Now, hopefully you'll see as we look at some of these readings that God is very obvious about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has, generally speaking, one purpose. Now, some things may flow from that, like a purpose of healing will still be this overarching purpose, which is to serve God, to glorify God, and equip his people. And a secondary purpose is that the arm that was withered is now healed. But that person still dies. That's why Jesus says, you've got a greater thing to worry about than whether you can walk or not. It's whether you are alive in God's presence or not. That's the greater thing. So all of these things that we can mention, you'll see them on the board here. Romans 12 verse 6, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. So you can see there that faith is a gift as well. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4, we have different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. It is the same God working in all of them. Now the purpose of that is supposed to be, it is not based upon you, that how good your personality traits are used by God. You may think that you're dumb or think that you're smart. You may think you have no skills at all. Remember, if you are breathing here, you have a personality that God can use. You may think, well, why haven't I got a personality that God can use more powerfully? Well, that's a question between you and God. But what is certainly true is the personality that you have, for all its hooks and crooks, will be used by God. If you ask the Spirit to move through you, he will do so and Christianize that personality. Whether you're an administrator or an accountant or an engineer or a cleaner or a teacher, it doesn't matter. Or unemployed, retired, 10 years old, 12, 15, all irrelevant. You have a personality that God can use. The question is, will you allow God to use it? The question isn't, do I have gifts which God can use? The question is, can God use me? The answer is yes. Will you let him? Irrespective of what your personality is. Now, I suspect a lot of you don't believe me, because you're so used to just thinking of yourselves in a negative framework. I'm not the person God's called me to be. I can't do these things. Well, God will have something to say about the can't do in a moment. God is actually very concerned about what you can do. Who are you as a person? We all have personality traits. We all have good ones. And God can actually use them for his purposes. That is the first thing he wants to say. And the purposes are on the screen. Romans 1, verse 11. I long to see you, Paul says. He's in the slammer at the moment, so that ain't happening anytime soon. The purpose? So that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, result, and reason to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. There's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He will encourage you. He will use the gifts he's given you. Whether they're gifts that you want to have or not, your personality has been shaped by who you are and your experiences, but God can use it. Even though some of those experiences early in your life may have been exceedingly negative, may have been a hurtful situation, God can actually turn those things that were bad into things that are good. Doesn't mean the abuse was good, because it's not. God's never the author of sin. But God can actually shape your experience and therefore use your personality for good. That's how great God is. That the negative things that we've been through, God can use for his own good. Not much more negative than Paul being in jail here about that his head lopped off. That's pretty negative, I would have thought. Flogged, whipped, almost dying. God can use all things for good. They continue on. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7, a text we looked at last year. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. There's the purpose of God. That the common good, which is the good in us to be more Christian, that's the common good. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. But everyone who prophesies speak to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. And verse 5 ends with, so that the church may be edified, strengthened. That is how God works. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts. Now many of you may know from previous studies on 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 that 1 Corinthians 12 does not have the word gifts in the text. Even though it says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, the word gifts is not there. They put the word gifts in because of how they think the text goes. But most modern commentators really think that what Paul is speaking about is true spirituality. So he's saying to the people, look, I'm going to tell you for the next three chapters, brothers and sisters, 12, 13, 14, what true spirituality looks like. So he's like saying, now about spiritual things, brothers. Let me tell you about what true spirituality looks like. What does it look like? You love and serve one another. God has gifted you. You're breathing. You can do things from the common good. Why? Because God will change your personality from a person who didn't care for others to a person who now loves other people. Verse 12 there. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts. That's another way of saying, since you are eager to be spiritual brothers, to have true spirituality, you wish to be enlightened brothers. Try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. You want to love other people? That's what builds the church up. So when you see a brother in aching or a sister in pain, you don't let it go over your head, because Christ didn't do that to you. He would never let you wallow in your own self-pity without trying to reach out. And the same motto that we've heard from 1 John, you love other people the same way Christ has loved you. So as he's helped you, you help others. We call that building the church up. And lastly, in 1 Peter 4, he says, each one should use whatever gift he has. See, he assumes you have gifts to serve others. Breathing people have gifts. It's a very simple equation. Breathing people who are Christian, that is. You have to have the primary gift, the foundational gift, the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you are loving people, as Jesus says, like pagans love. We all love our families and friends, irrespective if you're a believer. But only Christian love leads to the upbuilding of the church. And so, as Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others. If you're a Christian here, you are spirit-filled, full stop. And the spiritually minded person wants to strengthen other people in the faith. Now, sometimes we're a little bit more like a roller coaster with the Christian faith, aren't we? And so sometimes we're at a low ebb. And you hope that one of your brothers and sisters in the Lord is up here. And because you know that, and they know that, they want to help you. Not so they can boast, because there is no room for boasting, because the Holy Spirit is given to equal without measure. God gives the giver. You may have a natural personality that is charismatic, smarter than other people. Who cares? It's of no consequence to God. The only consequence to God is a contrite spirit, isn't it? And a heart willing to help another brother. It doesn't matter how lovely you think you are, that if a brother is lying there, as we have in the Good Samaritan, and you walk past, you can extrapolate that to a multiple context. That if a brother or sister is aching and in pain and you know and don't do anything, says the Apostle James, can that faith save you? The implication being that if the Holy Spirit is working in you, not trying to induce guilt, if the Spirit is working in you, he will manifest himself for the common good of that brother or sister. And so that when you're low and you can't help anyone, the idea is that the church has been built up sufficiently that another brother or sister lifts you up. So that possibly when you get up there, you yourself can see another brother or sister down there and use the experience of how you were lifted up to help another brother. Now, I know many people who do that. That experiences they've had either as a Christian or as a non-Christian, and they've been brought up, whether it's from addiction or through divorce and separation, through abuse in their past, or a whole host of circumstances. How God has used those things in their life, they now can bring that comfort to other people. And show how God doesn't leave them wallowing in the gutter. He can lift you up as well. That's what a church actually is. And he goes on and speaks about how this great God works in that passage up there from verse 8 to 11. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. So God is trying to be clear. In a group this size, we are gifted enough to help one another grow. That is a certainty. We are gifted enough because the same Spirit of God is working through each person here at different levels, at a different times, at a different rates, so that we all can be built up and edified, so that those who are struggling can be helped and those who have been helped in the past can help others. Because swings and roundabouts with life, isn't it, quite a lot of the time? But it is the same Spirit. Now, this is supposed to be illuminating in a refreshing type of way. So you don't say to yourself, I wish I could read the Bible in public better. But every time I get up, I fumble and stumble and I sound more like a deadpan comedian than someone reading the Bible with passion. But I want to be able to do it, but I just can't. You don't have to have every gift of the Spirit. Why? Because you don't have every personality. You're not everybody. You're not one on the. You're the same person you are before you were a Christian as you are now. Now, I'm sure my lovely wife would tell you, I've got many faults as a personality. And I don't have every personality trait as a start. So I can't have every gift. Otherwise, I could run a church myself, be quite happy with myself. What's the point of that? Completely worthless. We're like a jigsaw puzzle. And the same Spirit puts this puzzle together in order that we may be this puzzle together and to grow. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. So the great news is, really, as we have here at the end of verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. Hopefully you've heard me say it so often already today, because Paul says it a lot. It's the same Spirit working through healing, through tongues, through prophecy, through administration, through cleaning, through preaching, through the Word of God going out. It's all the work of the same Spirit. It is never the work of the preacher. It is never the work of the administrator, never the work of the accountant, the engineer, never the work of them. If it has fruits produced by the Spirit, for example, I could be up here preaching to you guys, as I said, 8 o'clock, there's 30-odd people there, or 80 or so people here, and 79 of you are thinking, fair dinkum, when is this bloke going to finish? He started 20 minutes ago. When is he going to finish? And that's just my children thinking that. There may be one person in here who's thinking, this is an amazing word of God. And the fact that I'm speaking is almost irrelevant. It's because, whilst I'm not irrelevant, I'm its next door neighbour. The relevance is how God changes that word into being used by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is what counts, working through us. And he brings us along for the ride. That's the great news. We can participate in the ministry of God. 1 Peter 4:10 says very similar stuff. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. How do you know the Holy Spirit is working in you? How do you know God's living in you? He will encourage you to serve others. That's how you know. Now, I'm not saying that's perfect, because sometimes you're tired, sometimes you're frustrated, and sometimes you can't do it. You're at a low ebb. We're at a high ebb and you start taking credit yourself. If we're all perfect, we'd all be in heaven, wouldn't we? We'd all be like Enoch going off in the clouds. None of us are. And so sometimes when we serve other people, we start to think that I'm the server rather than God working through us. The perfect world is, you know what? God enables you to serve and he gets the glory. He's faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms through you. And as you can see there, he says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. Remember, we don't take credit, only God gets the credit. God is at work. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Why? Because no spiritual fruit can come from any service that does not have the Holy Spirit's blessing. You can be the best cleaner on the planet and you will derive no blessing from God if you do it in your own strength. You may derive bitterness. You may be the greatest preacher on the planet. But if you think that people should be converted by your message and they're not, you may start to wallow in your own self-pity. When someone gets converted, you may start to take too much credit. When God should be taking the credit. It seems apt to mention, some of you may remember the old Billy Graham line from 59 and later, where Billy Graham later on in life said, and some of you heard this paraphrased during the week, Billy Graham said, at some point in time you get to hear of my death. Don't believe a word of it. I am more alive now than I've ever been. And I think his daughter also published that again through the VGA during the week as well. In other words, we're not all Billy Graham. There was a good book written many years ago, which I read when I did a master's course on Billy Graham, and this lady wrote a book about all, it was about nobodies, all these spiritual nobodies. And the book was about which people led Graham and Schuller and all these people to the Lord. Sunday school teachers, faithful people at a bus stop, that a person actually led Billy Graham to the Lord, and he went into shoe salesman, and another person said, maybe you could actually start preaching and stop selling shoes. Nobody's. But everybody's a somebody, you see. We've all got different gifts. Not all of us are Billy Graham. Well, no one else is Billy Graham. But we're all gifted by that same Spirit to edify the church. Differently, yes. And if God chooses, as Paul says, to bless some people a certain way and different people a different way, we don't have the answer why. But what we do know is the purpose, to edify the actual church, to build his church up. And the key thing that we often forget when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is you actually forget the context chapter 12 fits into. Chapter 12 is part of three chapters. So let me show you what I mean. Chapter 12 begins with this. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, it says. Another way of saying, this is about true spirituality, brothers. I'm going to tell you about it. Everything happens for the common good. He ends chapter 12 with verse 31. He goes on. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So he's been talking about all these gifts that God gives in order to actually raise up the church. Chapter 14 says another passage about gifts. And it has this at verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So in between chapters 14 and 12 is the magic number 13. And if you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard this passage read out many, many times. The whole idea Paul's trying to say is, let me read it. And I will show you the most excellent way. You want to desire the greatest gift? I'm going to show you the greatest gift. The greatest gift is love. But not love in the sense of John Lennon love. Love, 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 love. Love not attached to Christ is not true love. True love is attached to Christ because it is spirit-fused. In other words, the only spiritual growth that can lead to you growing as a Christian is growing in love. Once you grow in love, love of Christ, love of the other, then God will put you into situations where you can demonstrate that love. That when you see a brother in need, what makes you reach out? Love, isn't it? The love to see that brother not be in that situation again. Love reaches out. He goes on, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So in other words, if the Spirit doesn't use the words I speak or you're on the train or you helping a brother or sister buy some groceries, if you're not actually communicating the love of God to them, even though the deeds you're doing may be good, it has no spiritual benefit. Spiritual fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit working in us and in the lives of other people. Now, sometimes we can be the ones who miss out on that. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, so he's using the gifts that they said they had in chapter 12 and chapter 14. If you have all these things, brothers, if you say you have them but have not love, you are not, go back to verse 1 of chapter 12, you are not truly spiritual. A truly spiritual person is a person who grows in love. How do you grow in love? By knowing that the love Jesus has given you can now be given to another person. And when you feel low, you're hopefully that the other person who's grown with you can actually help you out. So he goes on as we end. Better to end with the scriptures than with me. By the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. I have a faith that can move mountains. But do not have love, I am nothing. Nothing. You can't be worse than nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, worse still, I gain nothing. How do you gain stuff? You gain stuff by actually helping a brother or sister grow. What do you gain? You grow their love. You grow their edification. You grow their sense of pleasure in the Lord. And Jesus says there's no greater gift than another brother or sister helping another one grow in the faith. That's the main aim of the Holy Spirit. So as we close, remember the foundational gift, though, for all Christians is the gift of faith given by the Holy Spirit. It rules out boasting because there's only one gift. If he chooses to use you in a certain way over above another person, praise God. What you pray for is, God, give me the ability, the strength to be used in a similar way, in a different way. Now, sometimes you're not gifted to be doing certain things, and we don't know why. I've always wanted to sing in public and play instruments. I would have loved to be able to do that. I would have loved to. But don't worry. Until God gifts me with that, I won't kill you with it. The practicing of a gift is because of how it can edify a believer. In other words, you may have something that is a natural type of skill, but if it's not edifying anybody at all, then it's not being used by God for God's purposes. So it does lead us to ask ourselves the question, like Paul asked the Corinthian church, are you using what God's giving you to build up yourself or to build up the church? How can you tell? Are you doing it out of love? Are you doing it out of service? Are you doing it because the Spirit prompts that within you? The Holy Spirit Christianizes our personality. That's a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit changes our personality. Some of you have probably said in the past, I am not the type of person who will sit next to anybody on a train, anybody at any party, anywhere, and tell them I'm a Christian. And then you find yourself doing it. And you think, how on earth did that happen? You've said, I will never have people over to my house for lunch. It's just not the way I think. And all of a sudden, there they are in your house. You're feeding them. You think, how did that happen? It's God changing who we are for his glory. He changes our negative bits. We'll use Paul's words. He works through our weaknesses. Works through our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit intervenes for God in miraculous ways. We should expect God to do that. Especially in countries that are devoid of the Word of God, God has demonstrated he works through visions, dreams, prophecies, miracles. God will do it. He can do it. There's no reason he can't. And lastly, the Spirit drives us to love and serve God and each other. That's his primary mission in life. Point to Jesus so that you may serve him and give glory to God. So if you want to know if you're a spiritual person or how to grow in spirituality, get your feet dirty. Get your hands dirty. Because God will use you in your personality to love and serve other people. Other people may say, Trent, the band may not be the place for you. Find something else to do. Love and serve each other still, of course. But try is how we learn how God can use us. And you may find some great ways of serving other people you never dreamed of. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're a God who loves us, cares for us, and you want to bring us along with the ministry that you're doing. You want us to be a part of you building up your church, building up the fellowship of believers. And so, Father, I especially pray for people here who think they don't have any gifts, don't have any good things, that you may show them afresh that they are loved. And if they're a Christian, they have the gift of the Spirit, and the Spirit will work through them to demonstrate the power of God, and you will use them to love and serve other people. Lastly, Father, I pray for people who may do things in church, not because they want to serve people, but because they want to be served. They want to be seen. We all do things with complex and conflicted motives. But help us, Father, come back to the main reason we should do anything. The Spirit is working through us to love and serve each other, that your name, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, be glorified. Amen.
Thanks, Trent. We're going to sing again.